Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Here we go.
Here comes the Matrix. We're in the Matrix now.
What? All right, Neo.
Watch this.
Here we go.
Something's happening.
I'm still waiting for your picture.
I pressed it.
There you are. What?
Do you want to know what it is?
Y'all can't hear me, huh?
No, we hear you.
I hear you.
We got you.
Oh, man.
Wait, can you not hear us? Can you hear us?
I should have stayed on the phone.
Why? We hear you.
We hear you.
We can hear you.
Let's bring DA into the conversation here.
Welcome to Who
Comet Is
Adjacent on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. Like the bull sitting in the bracket, I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing. Yes. Yes. And then he got their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in there.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop
and blowing at him.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop 5-4. We have ignition.
Stay mellow, my friends. The comma is.
We have left off.
It is an on the road edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge, I am in Brooklyn. That's all I'm going to say. Somewhere in Brooklyn. Marcus Thompson is somewhere. Are you in Brooklyn or in Manhattan?
I'm in Brooklyn, Marcus? And I'm the bad rapper also. Right now.
Okay.
Like, this Wait, is how a disaster. Are you not at the same place?
Because Marcus,
I'm not allowed where DA is. Like, I don't have the credentials.
You would definitely be allowed where I am now, because this is, you know, on the Marriott properties list, it's like, you know, the 5-star. This is not the 5-star. I'll just put it down.
They like, yo, do you have a Hall of Fame credential? And I'm like, no, like, get out of here, buddy.
That's where DA staying.
Yeah, Mark, I haven't traveled in a while, yo. Like, listen. Yeah. This is for kids. This is for youngsters.
Yes.
Like this road life is no punk. Like
no.
I am. It's rough out here. The flight from Charlotte. First off, I almost had a heart attack.
Why?
Charlotte felt like the Charlotte airport felt like it was 2018. There was so many people.
No,
and
just
everybody was killing.
Like, just non-mask. Like, just breathe, like, coughing
you,
on you.
Do you guys understand what's happening? I'm like screaming. Like, do you understand? Like, it was chilling. I was like, yo, this is crazy. It's like 28. It was like a throwback to a different time.
See, I haven't flown yet.
You haven't flown
yet. Thursday's my first flight in 2 years plus, and I'm nervous.
It is. Oh. It is unnerving. It is jarring. Like,
I already hated it, so.
Yeah. That should help. Do you hear the dulcet tones of Michelle Beadle on your podcast right now? Because that's who it is.
I screwed up your intro. That's
it's
my bad.
Fine, Beadle. Bad. First of all, Beadle, what's the ink on your wrist there? What is that?
This one, it's like half of them look like prison tats, but this one's a Amore, which I got a long time ago.
Okay.
But my mom calls me and people thought it was a Mare. So I just started telling people I was a big Stoudemire fan. And I was like, what a weird thing to ask. Then I added flowers to try to fix it after the fact. The lemon's the newest, and that's from going to Amalfi, and it actually looks decent. But yeah, most of my stuff is like, it's not great, but.
So are you, next is the tattoo tier?
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
The
barbed wire around your bicep.
Just get the prolific.
Well, if I do
right
my
here.
List ever, then I'll have reasons for tear drops.
The fabulous Beadle is with us, Marcus. She's a teammate.
Is that a Rams hat she has on? Michelle, are you talking a Rams hat?
Even after the game, even after this week's game, I'm doing it.
That was a beatdown.
That was awful and boring. But I won my fantasy game because the other guy had all the Rams. But yeah, it wasn't even enjoyable to watch.
Your boy Matthew Stafford killed me last night. I had a shot to beat Mark Spears in our league, and your boy just
bad.
Just
oh, you were
awful.
Feeling good.
I was
game.
Like, I got
Stafford
a shot
against this defense.
Exactly, he's gonna throw for about 404 touchdowns.
Oh my gosh! I don't know. I hope this isn't like a thing. Like this is a turning point where they
I don't
just
want this.
Here.
I think it's a bad matchup. The 49ers always do this.
They
I think
just
it's a Shanahan
They just know something how to match. They do. I agree.
Yeah, like the night at one point, I was like, is the Niners defense really good? Did I just not know anything? No.
I didn't think they were good.
They looked amazing.
They just got destroyed by Colt McCoy the week before.
Right, like, exactly. Like, so that's why I'm thinking, Stafford's going to light these guys up, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't like it. Mm-mm. I hope they get out of it.
Don't worry.
So, yes, it is a Rams hat.
It is a Rams.
They'll be all right.
So I am so thrilled, Beetle, that you are a part of the Athletic family.
Me too.
And your new podcast, What Did I Miss?, which also happens to be one of the great songs from Hamilton, What Did I Miss?, sung by Thomas Jefferson. And I wonder, I don't know if that's why you call it What Did I Miss?, but that's your name of your new podcast, Beetle.
I miss a lot. I miss a lot. I was gone for a really long time, probably longer than one should be gone. but
Who came
I honestly,
up with that, by the way? You came up with that?
We were trying to, I just didn't want to be like, oh, Michelle be like, that's, yeah.
That
so just started
that
saying
was,
things. Thanks.
Very good. It actually fits. That's pretty good.
Like, whoa.
It does. Now we got Marcus's picture.
Whoa. Is that like your dating app thing? What was that?
That's your Tinder app.
Yeah, real serious.
What happened?
Well, it just automatically went to your,
me.
It went to your picture.
It that's
went
what
to
it
your,
was.
To your,
oh,
to
that's
your
my
picture.
Wife.
Yeah.
That was, it was you, though.
No, it was you. It was your picture that's on your athletic picture.
Oh.
It's like a really good
headshot. It's kind of fly, right? Yeah, it's kind of fly, right? I had somebody do it for me. Yeah.
You were brooding.
Fancy. Yeah.
Brooding black man.
That's so funny, you know.
Oh, my God. So Marcus and I are...
My Tinder popped up. I got scared. I was like, nobody's supposed to know about this.
Like, this is awkward. Turn it off.
No. I almost threw the phone, Michelle.
That would just be... It would be awful. It would just not be good.
So we're in Brooklyn to chronicle this great matchup on Tuesday between the Nets and the Warriors. The reunion of KD and Dre and Steph on the court again. And I was like, let me come up because I didn't think anybody was coming up besides Slater. But everybody's here tonight. I'm going to be like the eighth guy writing tonight. This is ridiculous.
I mean, this is a sexy game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is a big time game coming up. So I'm excited about it. So Beetle, you know, like you said, you just went away for a while. And I know, I mean, I know why, but then it's okay. This is how it has to happen. But what was that like? Just not being around for a while.
It was the most freeing. Honestly, I thought I would panic. Because, you know, this business, you feel very much like, well, if you're not relevant, then you're not working. And if you're not working, you're not relevant. And then people will forget. And once I got past that initial fear and just started, I didn't care. I thought, well, I'll either work again in this business or I won't. And I'll figure it out when we get there. But I'm going to enjoy like it was beautiful. It was beautiful not posting on social media. And then if you did post, not caring about it and just, you know, no negative energy or crap that you had to deal with from like working at a certain place. It was just very nice and peaceful. And I got to be around the people I wanted to be around. And so, yeah, I enjoyed it way more than I ever thought I would because I have worked for so long and a lot, and it was just all of a sudden nothing. And it was awesome. I mean, the pandemic kind of killed the whole traveling thing that I had planned.
Yeah,
but,
right.
That's okay. That's just the universe telling me I wasn't supposed to travel.
Did you get to go anywhere?
I did. I went Switzerland and Como, came back, and then I went to the UK for like 5 weeks. And when I returned from that, it was sort of when everything started to shut down. And okay. I was like, oh, okay, well, we tried. Yeah. But, you know, and that was fine. I had family around, so at least I wasn't, because I know a lot of people had the short end of that stick where they were stuck by themselves somewhere for a year and a half. Right. So I got lucky in that. And yeah, I just, you know, I'm grateful I had the chance to do it. Like, I was in a position where I could, and I loved it. I wish everyone could do that once, because you sort of embrace what you're going to do next a lot more than you would.
Yeah.
Can we get on? Let me get on your couch real quick, because I do think this is, you know, we're hoops adjacent, you know, so we can veer off into the.
That's in the name. It's in the title, so that's what we do.
I think there's something important, and maybe you're talking to young journalists, or maybe you're talking to people who want to get in here. But one of the things that I've learned is that a lot of the pressures and anxieties and stuff are a lot. We impose them ourselves, right? Like, it's all like inside baseball, and it becomes this kind of like weighty measurement that we just created. And you've been able to get away. You've been able to kind of experience life without it. But there's also this other side where this is kind of a privilege, right? Which is, you know, like, this is a great career to have, yeah. even if sometimes it feels that way. But for the people who can't step away, like how do you keep all this stuff in like actual perspective for what's real, what's real pressure and what's not? I remember I used to frantically worry about whether or not another newspaper had something, and then you realize they're kind of two different readerships. Like they don't pass in the night. I'm really just competing with my peers off a standard we created, right? Like right. readers don't know right. this stuff, right?
Exactly.
So it's like if you're in it, how do you keep the perspective? Maybe if you just can't get away, like some of us are fortunate enough to do.
Yeah, you know, well, so at the end of when I was right before I left ESPN, it was the what was that, 18 finals, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really the lowest point for me there. Mm-hmm. And it was unfortunate because for me, you know, getting to do NBA Countdown was a bit of a dream job. And it was being ruined by factors that were, you know, in-house, like it was coming from inside the house and nothing was being done. And so that for me was just a very difficult learning moment. And you can't blame yourself, first of all. I mean, we're all trying to be competitive. This business is hella competitive. We all know that for a variety of reasons. How good is your product? How good are you? What do you look like? How old are you? I mean, there's a million things to think about all the time. And you really have to sort of get in your own head and tell yourself you cannot worry about the things that you can't control. I think for me, it was frustrating because these were things that could have been controlled and people were choosing not to. And it was just an everyday anger that I had. Not the people that I immediately worked with, but I loved them. I loved in front of the camera and behind the camera on that show. But it was just disappointing because we have enough that we're competing against in this business. And when you realize that certain players in the game play by different rules and play dirty, it's a bummer, you know, I believe in karma and I do think sometimes it kicks in, but you don't want to see that. And so I think my number one thing I tell young people, especially women, is like women can be their own worst enemies, especially in this world. And try not to be. Like, be confident enough in what you do and how good you are that you don't have to play dirty to try to get ahead, because you might get ahead for a minute or two, but it will catch up and you know what you did. And so that's my biggest thing. Just do you. Just concentrate on you. Don't lose focus. There's going to be someone better, whatever, at some point, but do your best. And it sounds cheesy and dumb, but that's really all you can control.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah, I mean, Beetle, you and I have similar stories to tell. And it was,
I'm sure we do.
It was just the last year there, the finals for me, it was 2004. And it was just like, this is all wrong. And literally it's like, what did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong? I mean? And you sit there and you go over it over and again and again and again. And you're like, I don't think I did anything wrong
at all.
If
anything, you probably did everything right, but that wasn't being rewarded.
Yeah. And so it's hard to do that in public. It's hard to do that in public, you know?
Oh, it's hard when people are writing things that aren't true or, what your next none of these were true. Like, no one asked me. I didn't tell anyone.
Right.
And that's frustrating. And yeah. you only get used to that in time, because when I first started and the first time anything was ever written about me, I mean, I was so angry and I lashed out and I was like, well, who do I get for this? Then you realize in time, like, there's nothing.
There's no defense. Yeah.
I mean, I tell my friends and family, don't Google me. I'll send you articles that are real.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Just assume it's not right. Yeah. Unless I told you.
You're right.
Yeah. It's kind of stupid. It's such a dumb thing, because we're not the story. Like, we're not supposed to be anyways, but this industry has taken some weird turns, I guess, in the last decade or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part that we don't like discuss either. Right. And you just kind of, you know, we came up in it, right? We know about a different time, but it just looks so glamorous. It looks so like, you know, I want to do that. But man, especially for women, like, it's,
oh, of course,
like, absolutely. You gotta be, you
a
just
billion times to, worse.
Yeah, yeah. There's,
it's almost is. Like, it's a billion times worse. No, I'm not just no saying question. That.
Well, no, it's always, no it's question. The, it's always the ones that claim to be the feminists, and you're sitting there going, girl, please. It's, like, I know everything you've done.
it's the woman. Woman on woman crime, for lack of a better term. But then it's all, you know, look, Marcus and I have to deal with a lot of things because of our race, but we don't have to deal with that and people hitting on us all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, or that's just, not, no,
that's or not just part of like, the deal.
It's true though. Like, I remember the first time I realized I had another woman. I don't want to say her name because I don't know if she would want that, but she was on the beat with us. And I remember we're like on a road and we're in the locker room. And I just remember realizing that they just figured I knew what I was talking about. They just knew, like I had that automatically when I walked in.
You had credibility,
It would take me to say something dumb in order for them to be like, "Man, he don't know basketball." Of course, he knows basketball. Black dude from Oakland, he know basketball. But they were like, "What you doing?" It was just like, "Yo," she could say a word, the assumption was she didn't know what she was talking about. I was like, "Yo, that is wild when you think about it. Like, you gotta,
it's crazy.
You don't even have to blow it first. They're just walking in.
No.
Like, what you gotta ask?
Man,
let me hear your question, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then and they're small, like listening
compared to what you have to deal with. But it's still like, that's kind of huge actually when you think about it.
It's kind of, look, I will never blame people for sort of making judgment calls on like an appearance. I get it. We do it. It's just inherent in us. But at this point in this game, it just gets old. You're like, I think it's gotten better. Maybe I've just stopped listening. It's probably more of the latter. it is kind of a funny. I was listening to this is the most random thing, but it just happened. But it was during, I think, Steve Sarkisian's like press conference this weekend, and I don't know who the guy was that asked the question, but it was legitimately a 56 second long question that was very poetic and flowery and weird. And all I could think about, I remember I looked over at my boyfriend. I was like, do you know how much I would get crushed if I was in a press conference room and I asked that question?
Right, right.
Sure. I would, and rightfully so, because it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like killed. Yeah. And so we just all have these different standards, fair or not. And you deal with it, but it's fine. I mean, look, people are going to think what they're going to think. And at this, I'm 46 years old. Like, I couldn't possibly care less what strangers think anymore.
Yeah.
Again,
see, that's DA. That's it. That's that. I've been away from a game. See that right there? That's it right there. Right. I need to know how to get that without leaving.
I mean, no, you will. I promise you. Because you're like, you know what you do. You know you're good. It's like, the knowing your value and your worth. And don't let the other, because it's scary how quickly people can sort of play with what you think your value is.
Sure.
And you have to push that away.
Right, right. So you famously, I listened to your podcast, your first podcast, which was phenomenal, by the way. And it was, you walked back the whole UTSA thing. You were like, I was only there for a little while. It's not a big deal. But obviously San Antonio means a lot to you because you went back. So what was it that brought you back? And what is it that you wanted to do when the Spurs said, hey, come, or you went to the Spurs, however it worked out, and said, hey, let's work together?
I mean, it was, I would have never, in my whole life, I never intended to live back in Texas again. This was one of those, I got out, I wasn't coming back kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so that was already. I mean, you know, and everyone knows that. Like, my best friends, I've been over 20 years, we've been best friends. They laugh because they're like, we haven't lived in the same city in almost 20 years. And so they're just still a little bit shocked that I'm here. And they keep waiting for me to be like, I'm moving. so there was no plan. I came here to visit family was here a few months and realized like I didn't actually have to live in LA anymore. I only had moved there for work.
Yeah.
It's a fine city. Don't hate it, but I didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
And I was like around my family and my parents are getting older and I was around my friends and I could have a glass of wine with them every day if I wanted to while I was here. And I thought there's no reason not to stay. So I put my house on the market, sold that from here, brought this one and was like, okay, now I'm here. Now what? And it was funny because I'm still in contact with a lot of the people from the Spurs. It is very much family like there. A lot have stayed this entire time. And they're like, would you ever want to do something? I had dinner with RC Buford and he's like, would you want to do something? Da, da, da. And I was like, first of all, you guys are the reason like anything ever happened in my life. I have no idea what I would have done had that not happened. So I had no plan. I had no plan B, C or anything. And I said, I'll do whatever you guys want. And we kind of were trying to figure it out. They're like, do you want to be the third person in the booth? And I'm like, look, I'm a confident person, but there are some women in the booth doing some amazing jobs. And I'm not about to set us back 3 decades by going into the booth during live games like that. So yeah, there's no way. But I was like, but I will do whatever. And we sort of kind of played with that idea. And I was like, well, I guess I'll do at least one day of work a week. That's better than what I've done for 2 years.
Right.
And then and then I started talking to The Athletic and I was like, oh yeah, I get to do that from home. Like it's just, it's a peaceful life here. But not in the sense of like, I don't live on a farm or anything like that. It's just by the people that I trust the most in the world and that I love and that always they're all here.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing for me. It's not anything I've ever been guided by before because this is the first time I've done anything that wasn't work related. But I mean, again, it's a blessing that I've been able to do it. And I recommend it if you ever can. Yeah. I think it's also getting older. COVID.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Different perspective. It all changed everything.
So can you, you can level with us now, right? Was there a part of you that was always boiling in LA with all those Laker fans? It's a part of you.
You know what saved me? The thing that saved me was always having Marcellus Wiley close enough because he, as a Clippers fan, would just basically take the brunt of any sort of ridicule and whatnot. Cause unfortunately the Spurs haven't been great in a minute and it's going to be a cycle. But yeah, it's not even just Lakers fans. It's like LeBron Lakers fans. Those are the ones that I think
most. Sure.
Like, who are you? What are you?
It's part of your blood. You got to hate the Lakers. It's like I
always
hate.
There's always a part of me that looks at Shaq like, but I love Shaq. Right. But I'll always remember he disrespected David Robinson any chance he got. I'll never forget that.
All right. So I want to know what this is like for you because you the Spurs were the gold standard for 2 decades, right? I mean, like,
that's crazy.
Winning 5 titles and everybody going to the Hall of Fame and Pop's going to go whenever he stops coaching. And now you're right. They're in this. They have turned the page on that. And is it weird?
It's only weird, I think, for fans that are maybe just a little unrealistic. I think, when you're a young fan, you just want your team to win and that's all, and I get it. But, having seen the different versions of the Spurs over decades, it's logical. It can't be great forever.
Right.
B, I will say this. Like I've been around teams, like I think my first or second year doing sideline for the Nets was like a 20 something game, like win game season. It wasn't great. But I wouldn't say that team necessarily loved each other or like was young and like these kids, they're kids. I can say that now.
Sure. They're all kids now, Michelle.
They're children. Like Josh Primo, like.
Yeah.
It blows my mind when I look at that face. I'm like, oh, you're a child. But they genuinely, like when you see them, it's, I don't know. I'm a pretty cynical person, but I look at them and I think they're young. They're hungry. I think that's why Pop's still here. I think he's enjoying actually kind of really coaching young people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think as long as they also don't get down, cause they've been in some close games and lost some stupid ones like that, but they're in them. And that's better than I think some people might've thought.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Being a sports fan can't always be great. Like it's even Warriors fans. They thought that was going to go on forever and they had to wait.
So, what you mean? They waited 40 years for it.
You remember how it was like all the Warriors fan. I was like, I didn't know you were a Warriors fan. Where'd you come from? And then all of a sudden it got quiet again. And maybe this year will pick
there
up.
There was a solid crew, but it wasn't as big as they were acting like it was. I remember going to Warriors games. Warriors Laker games had more yellow jerseys than blue ones.
Oh, of course. Oh, sure.
Well, that's the tough thing about any, like, Lakers were here not that long ago, and that was almost all Lakers fans. It's so irritating.
It's got to be brutal for the players. I can't imagine what that's like.
Especially these kids, because they were getting booed in their own building. And I remember they missed like 7 free throws at the end of that game. And I thought, well, they're getting booed at home. They have no idea what's happening. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
There's no Tim Duncan on the bench going, it's fine. Right. It's just weird.
We'll never see Tim again, I think.
He's around, but he's like Bigfoot. But I know he's in the building. I know he's there somewhere. Just don't see him.
All right. So what do you think about the season so far? Any teams interest you or players intrigue you? What do you think about what's going on
far? I am enjoying this sort of Chicago. I like the Chicago run.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. I thought their offseason was very interesting and probably didn't get as much love as some of the other stuff. But I also think as a town, Chicago's just, if not the best sports town, at least top two or three.
Fantastic.
So for me, that's fun. I actually am enjoying the Warriors aspect because, again, you know, you got those California teams and so much is made about Clippers and Lakers. And just as cute and adorable as Steph Curry is, I know that has to fuel him. Just, I don't want to hear about the Lakers anymore. And so I love the idea that they will go on this run and that Klay will come back hopefully and be like good. Mm-hmm. I want that to be the story. I want them to be in the finals at the end because it's just more fun. The league is more fun when they're in it. And it will be kind of fun to look at that Lakers team that, you know, whoever put together and just think it didn't work. That was not a good plan.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to, I mean, it's been a terrible start. I still think, I'm still holding out that it may turn around because Westbrook was terrible in Washington the first 2 months. He was awful. And then he was the best player in the league the last month of the season. So he just does that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. And that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
So, you have such a unique perspective, Beetle, because you've been involved in so many different aspects of sports and broadcasting and Hollywood also for a while, right? You did that.
Oh, yeah.
And, Marcus brought, talked about how different the business is now, and it is. And I just wonder, I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope right now. For our business,
you're not, trying to figure out how to word that.
Yeah,
that was the best attempt at hiding a nihilistic demeanor. You know what I'm saying?
I don't feel good about the way where this is going.
I've never heard a more nicer, calmer Armageddon siren in my life. Right?
That was it almost sounded lovely.
Fun. I'm here.
Are you talking about the screaming and the yelling is what's going?
Everything, not just that, but the kind of in how everybody has taken everything in house. Everything's in house now. The players literally are interviewing each other all the time now.
That is one.
And they're going on the barber shop or whatever the show is that LeBron does. It's just
they're talking to people based on a business relationship from another sector or segment.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's that, and it's the screaming and the yelling, and it's the some of these relationships that we all kind of suspected were not on the up and up and not, fair dealing. Mm. And oh my, that same person has had the last 72 scoops in a row. Wow, he must be the greatest reporter ever. No, not really.
He's so well.
You know, all of that is kind of this whole melange of ick. You know, and I just wonder,
you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you navigate when you just want to do good work?
God, I mean, I'm not even going to pretend to be like, because you guys are doing, like, you're actually journalists and you are writing good things, like things
that's
that
so
we want to read. You know what I mean? And it's to me, like, I guess it's sort of the way Hollywood, when reality television first came around, Hollywood started to panic and they're like, well, now, A, it's cheap. Nobody has to write a script. You know, it is what it is. But it was garbage. Like, at the end of the day, it is garbage. And those of us who watch it will call it such. We know we're watching garbage. What worries me, though, because of the way we all sort of ingest and consume now, and it's just nonstop with our phones and like young people, I don't think they have the attention span to read like a 2,000 word essay on something wonderful. Right. That's the part that I worry about. Like, where will that be in 5 to 10 years? Because I understand the players wanting to go to each other. I mean, look, if we were in those ranks and all of a sudden I didn't have to talk to some stranger, I could talk to my buddy. Like,
yeah,
I'd probably do that too. And so we won't be able to put that toothpaste back in, but it's the journalism part that it bums me out, because you'll watch TV and, like, not to be a grammatical turd, but I just hear ignorant stuff said all the time. And I'm like, no, what is that happening? And then it turns me off, and then I don't want to listen anymore to what the person's saying. And I don't see that heading in a better direction, because the money, the contracts for that are much bigger than the contracts for, like, a great writer at the moment. And that's, I don't know. I don't know how you think
that. That leads me to an interesting point. And I think you uniquely, your perspective on it would be unique. I wonder if the turning point in all this were when we became part of it, right? Like when the media personality became part of the grandeur of it all. Because there was a time, I remember being told to take myself out of the story. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, yo, can you get in this more? Can you do this podcast? Can you do this show? Right. We want you out here. I wonder if that, maybe it's like, you know, irreparable at this point, but I do wonder, what kind of effect do you think that has? Is it a net positive, even though there's some elements we don't like? That's the chance. Like, now media people are getting paid like we never got paid before either, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably good too. So do you think it's a net positive that essentially the J school primal stay out of it ethics are kind of been pushed aside? Actually, you know, the other thing, like, remember we couldn't say what team you were, like, a fan of?
I do remember that.
Now it's like, yo, whatever. Yeah.
See, I was part of, like, I was on that weird, because I'm not a trained journalist by any stretch.
Yeah.
And so when I did start to do TV, I went into it with zero knowledge, zero background, zero actual desire to do it. This was just, I was like, I'm gonna try it, see what happens. So I didn't know any better. And I was just like, I love the Spurs. And that just was like, that was it. No one ever told me otherwise.
So basically you did this. You started this.
it's 100% my fault. but it's funny, because I always used to think that it was illogical to think that somebody who got into sports writing didn't have, they weren't fans of something. Like, why else would you be in the sports?
Why would that be illogical? What do you mean? Why would that be?
Of course,
I've never rooted for a team before. I'm a sports writer.
Ever. I hate sports. I'm just kidding. It's just, I don't know. It is weird, because all of our survival now, career-wise, like, it's all about, quote-unquote, expanding your brand, which I just want to shove pens in my eyes, but it's kind of what it is now. And you guys are there to write stories, but then you're going to do, like, podcasts, and it's just kind of goes with each other. I just hope that the youth, the ones that are in college right now and the ones that are coming up, there will always be a segment, I think, of any generation that wants to tell stories, to be good storytellers. And I hope that they sort of stick to that, because it is very tempting to watch, you know, somebody make this amount of money and you go, well, I could easily just do the exact same thing.
Right.
I get it. I mean, it's the Kardashian syndrome. Like, we all just want to be famous, but we have no idea what we can do to be famous.
Right.
That's the end game, I guess. I don't know. I just hope it continues, at least till I die. After I die, I don't care what happens. This can all go to hell.
But you, it's so funny. I'm 1,000% with you on that point. But here's the part that I worry about the next generation. I think they see, you know, Stephen A, they see you, they see DA. and they think you just like walked out of a college class and got there, right? Nice. It's like, but it's like, so to me, the that part of the game is cool when you pay your dues, right? When you go through the rank, it's almost how you're good when you get there.
Sure.
But like, you're right. You just hope, you hope people still want that foundational element and not just want to go straight to that other part, because it is highly seductive. I can imagine if I was coming out of J school now, I would not be interested in writing game stories. Like, yo, put me, put me on the TV. I can argue with the best of them. Absolutely. Yeah. I can, yeah.
Yeah. Cause it, you know, I mean, but think like every industry, like movie making, yeah. Every industry has it. There's generations where they're like, I know I can do this stupid movie and it'll make money and haha, I'll be fit. But you still have the ones in there that are like very serious and dedicated and they want to do something beautiful. Like, I think it happens every generation. I just don't want them to get lost.
They just have to have second jobs though, Michelle. That's the problem.
I know. That's the crap part. It's like, oh, the payoff isn't what you think it's going to be.
I'm going to work at this restaurant and I'm going to make real movies.
Right. That's exactly what it is, actually.
So, Beetle, you have this new podcast that's on 17 times a week, apparently.
Okay, when we finish today, you better write an email to somebody.
Two questions. Who is your dream guest that you have that you haven't gotten, that you've never gotten and you want to get? And don't say Barack Obama. Everybody says Barack Obama.
I know everyone says that.
And number two, I heard you about
Michelle
Obama. Right? I heard you on another podcast saying you want me to come on your podcast, but it's going to take like 3 years. And I'm like, what are you nuts? It'll take 7 minutes. What are you talking about? Do it now.
You have to wear a clown costume and we have to talk about nothing serious. Are you ready?
Can I tell you? All right. This is the God's honest truth. And I actually told Vince Doria this once and he just looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, Vince, I want to do a SportsCenter commercial. You know, this is SportsCenter. Everybody did. I want to do a commercial. And he said, well, what would you do? And I said, all I want to do is wear a chicken outfit and talk about how serious I am. You know, and it would start with a tight shot of my face going, I'm a serious journalist. You know, I don't care what anybody else says. We're about the facts here, and I'm not going to sell out for anything. And it just gradually pans out and shows me wearing a chicken costume. And I thought that would be funny.
It would have been perfect.
I thought that would be hilarious.
Why didn't they like that?
And I would love to do something really stupid with you, of course. Anytime. Oh, then I'm
in. That's what I'm here for. I'm literally here to do stupid stuff.
So all right. So you're if you could, I mean, who's on the short list? If it's not one person.
You know, it's funny because I there's no one like famous necessarily.
Could be famous. Could be your sixth grade English teacher.
I want Paul Pierce on because he was like, the most surprising person I've ever worked with that I genuinely loved. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, I hate Paul Pierce. Why is this man wearing sunglasses indoors? I don't understand anything about this. And it turns out he's like the best.
Yeah.
He's like my brother, but just raunchier and with more money than my actual brother.
You know where he's from, right? You know where he's from.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
No, people think he's from Los Angeles. He's from Oakland.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, but he'll just yell Inglewood to everybody.
Exactly.
I know. He left at like 10 or 11, so he's in high school there. So I'll give him a pass. But we know where his roots are.
I'm going to just be telling that every time. I'm like, why do you lie to everyone that you're from Inglewood? Because you're not. But yeah, that's all he ever like. Yeah. So he's just from a fun standpoint.
Yeah, sure.
It's really anyone that I know, like comedians, I think, just people that are fun hangs. I mean, really, like there's a lot of people that know a lot, but if it's not fun, then, if you're not having fun, then no one's going to be having fun. So that's really my only goal. I can't even think like,
I have some recommendations, by the way.
Do you? Go.
Who I would want to see on your show. Diana Taurasi.
Okay.
I think that would be great. Yvonne Orji. You and Yvonne Orji from Insecure.
Yeah,
I think
of course.
She would be, okay. I think she would be incredible too. And,
what did I just see her on? I saw her on something.
Probably
might
Insecure.
Might have been Jamel. No, but I think it was a podcast. It might have been Jamel.
Oh, and Anthony Anderson. You got to get Anthony Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Final that season. Is a high energy human.
Final season coming up.
I'm curious. I'm curious, Michelle, while you were, you know, in the honor of what did I miss? What happened while you were gone where you were like, yo, I wish I was
I kind of wish I was there for that. I would love to be behind the scenes on this one. Maybe you even picked up the phone and called some people.
Like, I know, because like my friends aren't sports fans, so you're just sitting there like, I have to say something. I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, everything was sort of like a blur. I think the bubble was just a weird thing that humanity has gone through. Like when you really sit back and think about what the hoops that were being jumped through just to get some sports out there was also sort of like a weird perspective moment, because I kept thinking like, who cares about sports right now?
Right.
But then as we know from, you know, tragedies before, like sometimes that's what people actually do need. I just thought the bubble was silly. I thought the idea of it was crazy. And so for me, that was to watch from afar. And that was right after I left. So that was just like, it was almost like, the joke with my friends was, are you a witch? Because it was like, not only did I leave ESPN and the NBA, then a pandemic dropped on the earth. And like, there was no season for a minute. And I was like, what did you do? Maybe I am a witch.
But you.
I didn't wish that. I didn't. No. I mean, that's not specifically anyways. So even Kyrie stuff is always kind of fascinating watched from the outside. The Rudy Gobert, like coughing on the microphone. So it was just all surreal. I mean, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
But those were the things that I just thought, what's happening?
Yeah.
I loved it. It was crazy to watch. I felt like an alien.
Right. You
know, it was a good alien feeling.
You were like an E.T. alien. You were benevolent.
Yeah. I was just consuming it. Like, right. What's going on?
Remember before how you were saying it's crazy to think a sports fan wouldn't like sports? I was one of those people who always like, yo, I'm going to be that 65-year-old dude sitting courtside with season tickets with hella buttons on. Like, that's going to be at every game. Like, all the ushers are going to know my name, right?
Dude, it's like now, E40 at Warriors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like, now, after having done this, I can't even enjoy sports. Like, to me, it would be the worst thing of all time. So after a game, like, just go home.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to go talk to people now. I want to, like, I don't know how you did that. I would lose my mind knowing you could pick up the phone and find out what really happened. But you don't.
I mean, even like, I would sometimes text like with friends that were, I was like, so what's actually happening? Like, and some of it wasn't even sports related. It was, as we were just talking, it was like media stuff that was going on.
Yeah,
and like,
sure.
that's super fun. But you're right about the sports thing. You know what? Part of taking a break was kind of that too. Cause I actually didn't watch any sports for like, maybe a year, I would say, like off and on. And when I did start to watch again, I watched like Europe, like English Premier League, and I started watching F1. So things I'd never seen before that kind of got my juices flowing.
I'm like, hooked, Michelle.
So
I'm
is this
hooked.
The Netflix thing again that have gotten everybody hooked?
I'm beyond, and it's, dude, it has like real drama. Like Mercedes and Red Bull, like they hate each other. It's
Michelle, why don't the NBA watch this and adopt it? They do so many things that would be incredible. Listen,
they're so catty. Like, they'll literally talk about each other while he's right there.
It is the pettiest thing. Yes, they literally will be snitching on each other. just the other day, Max Verstappen got caught like fondling his dude's car.
Touching.
Right? Like,
he was what's touching wrong with his your car? Car. Something. Yeah. 50 grand. Well, you saw it today. Mercedes filed a couple. Yeah, they're like, it's such good drama.
It's great.
So much. And then it's
the best
beautiful
part.
Cities. I love it.
The best part, Michelle, is how, to me, it blew my mind how you can essentially change teams.
Yes.
But you finished the year with the team you're on.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Valtteri Bottas is like the stepchild to Lewis Hamilton on the Mercedes team, even though I love him and it makes me root for him because you just feel. And he's known he's leaving for a while, but now he doesn't even care.
And he knows who the replacement is. He knows the guy they
he
want.
Knows. Like,
the guy that's taking his job.
Can you imagine? Like, hey, Westbrook, you're going to finish out the season here, but you're not wanted after that. So you're going to have to go.
We get SGA. Yeah, we get.
It's amazing. I'm telling you, watch it. Like,
oh,
it's,
my God.
This is how I knew it was something. My best friend in the whole world doesn't watch any sports at all. Nothing. She gets up at 7 o'clock on Sundays and she'll watch practice on Thursday.
Wow. She's all
that's
in.
Me, Michelle. That's me. That is
I'm
me. And then but you're right. The cities, like the like you, it's a way to experience the world. Like you, otherwise I wouldn't watch what's happening in Qatar. Right. Like, but now there's a race there. So you're like, you're paying attention. Yeah. It's crazy.
So here's what I think. We go to the Athletic. We tell them we're going to need a little bit of a budget, but we're willing
to
stay in.
Don't do this to me.
And then this is what we do for the next year. We go to every race.
We just go around the world.
Listen,
Monte Carlo, wherever.
I would do that. I would totally do that.
I do it in a second.
Man, in a heartbeat. It's incredible. Like,
you don't even have to pay me a lot. I just need pay to like pay my bills, but like just put me in a hotel and I'll do it.
Oh, just pay for my way. We good. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I will go. It's very business out too, by the way. It's kind of luxury, the whole
It's gotta be business class or we don't do it. No, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like Singapore and Monte Carlo and England and like
and yachts,
you know, they come here
and
wine
glasses and yeah.
Like supermodels and pretty people.
How about we just go to Miami though?
I know.
The new one coming to Miami. How about we do that one?
We might be there for some Eastern Conference Finals action next.
Maybe that's our audition tape for the Athletic.
There you go.
Like, look what you could have.
All right. So it's.
All right, Marcus and I was.
We're honest.
So I think Andrew. I think my dear friend Andrea Kramer will be okay with me telling the story, and this is, and then we're going to wrap because we need to wrap because we've been talking a long time. So at some point, she and I and Mike Freeman, who's a dear friend of both of ours, who covers covering the NFL forever, we were thinking about starting a talk show. We wanted to start a talk show and talk about football, but also again talk about everything else that's going on in the world. And I said, I've got the title. And she said, what do you think we should call it? I said, Andrea and Two Black Guys. I think that would be a great title for the show.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, so I'm thinking Beetle and Two Black Guys to go around the world doing Formula One would be kind of funny.
Come on. It would be awesome.
It would be.
I mean, it could be like beads. And then there's a little alliterate. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
we have to get people's attention somehow. Right. And then once we get them in the door, they're going to be hooked anyways.
Man, I've always wanted to be a pip.
There you go.
You know, like, let's roll with it.
Guys, I'm going to start writing up some treatments.
There you go. I'm in.
I love that so much.
Beetle, I love you. I'm glad you're back. I'm so glad. What Did I Miss is the podcast. It's on 3 times a week, which is 1 time too many. But even if you have to listen 3 times, it's great. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
much appreciate it.
And
anytime I'm in San Antonio again, which is not going to be very often.
I know.
Let you know.
It's hard to get here.
I went to San Antonio a lot the last 20 years, Beetle.
It's like, you know what? San Antonio is your Cleveland. That's what I think.
Yeah.
A lot of San Antonio.
A lot of it.
Yeah. I don't know if I need to see Cleveland again.
Never. Although I was thinking
I've
of going.
I've seen enough Cleveland.
I was going to go and talk to Mobley, but now he's hurt, so I can't go.
See, that's the universe telling you not to go.
There you go.
So you've had enough Cleveland. Yep. You can see him in another city.
You can hear Beetle and you can hear this fine American podcast on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Tunes, wherever you get podcasts. Leave a 5-star review. And Marcus, please remind Beetle, who's been away for a while, if the review is less than 5 stars, what should they do?
They should keep it to themselves, you haters. And go give What Did I Miss a 5-star.
Yeah,
somebody better get a 5-star about
somebody in this place better get 5 stars.
And I love it.
Later.